Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today, we're going to have so much fun because we're going to be talking about something that actually was how I got my start in this field, and that's doing public relations. And, you know, it really is one of those subjects that not a lot of people know a lot about. And so I really enjoy it when we have an expert on who can talk about it and talk about why it is still so incredibly important, especially now when we are inundated with information from everywhere. So please join me in welcoming Mickey Kennedy to our program today. Welcome, Mickey.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, you know, I always like to start by asking my guests how they got to where they are today and how you discovered that this is your passion in life.
So about 25 years ago, I was finishing up grad school. Mm-hmm. I was pursuing an MFA in creative writing with an emphasis in poetry.
Okay.
So I just assumed I'd be waiting tables the rest of my life and writing poetry in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. One of those starving artists.
Mm-hmm. Right. But after a few weeks of waiting tables, I realized that physically and psychologically, it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't write poetry in the evening. So right. I decided I needed to do something more office work inclined. So I got a job offer at a small telecom startup. I mm-hmm. was employee number three. Mm-hmm. And because I was a writer, they wanted me to write press releases right. and send them out to the media. Mm-hmm. At that time, we were doing it through faxing. So
I remember those days.
That was like a couple day shot every month, mm-hmm. just faxing stuff. And mm-hmm. so I started to get journalists calling us and saying, could I email that press release over? Mm-hmm. We worked with a lot of telecom traffic numbers, mm-hmm. and they just said it's easier to cut and paste and work with right. that directly from the source. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned it to my boss that, hey, email seems to be a natural mm-hmm. progression from faxing. And he says, hey, someone should start a business like that. And so the light bulb went off. Hmm. And I spent about a year contacting journalists, asking them if I could email them press releases. And the surprising thing, or maybe not surprising in 1997, was most of them were like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool and novel. Mm-hmm. So I launched about a year later mm-hmm. in 1998 with about 10,000 journalists in my mm-hmm. database. And I would just send press releases to them through mm-hmm. email. And my clients were getting hits and having good experiences. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, PR Newswire reached out to us and said, hey, you should also send your releases out mm-hmm. through us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I charge a couple $100s. You charge $1,000 plus mm-hmm. for a national press release. Mm-hmm. And so we put our heads together and mm-hmm. tried to craft a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. All of our releases that go out are a custom national distribution. Mm-hmm. And we schedule by default our press releases for next day mm-hmm. so that their editorial team that they have overnight, which is not very busy, can mm-hmm. work on our releases. So we're not costing additional labor and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it's been a really good partnership. They see mm-hmm. the value in supporting small businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, our customer base really couldn't afford to spend $1,000 plus for a press release. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're not looking for a long-term commitment mm-hmm. and a contract and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. It's been really cool. I've really been able to watch a lot of small businesses, startups, authors, speakers, all different types of people get discovered through mm-hmm. PR. You know, that being said, PR is not easy, but right. if you do it strategically, mm-hmm. you definitely improve your chances that you will get media pickup. Mm-hmm. And I always caution anyone who's considering doing a press release to at least commit to a proper PR campaign mm-hmm. of 6 to 8 press releases. You got to try okay. different hooks. You got to try different mm-hmm. angles and see what the media responds to mm-hmm. and change your messaging accordingly. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this now for so long that I spend most of my time with more strategic stuff. Mm-hmm. I worked on a course recently for my customers to get them to do more strategic press releases, mm-hmm. knowing that if we get rid of the releases that talk about personnel changes in a company, right. and they do a press release that's mm-hmm. A little more important or strategic, they're going to get better results mm-hmm. and, you know, therefore be better customers mm-hmm. to be releases.
Right. You know, and I mentioned that I started my career doing public relations, and I started actually for the American Cancer Society. And so we had, in many ways, we had it easy because we had such a built-in story and a built-in hook, and we had very good relationships with the media, all these various things. But I still had trouble explaining to them why, when I would send a press release, it wouldn't go word for word, or it might get bumped, or all these various things. And so tell us first of all, tell us what a press release is. And then let's talk about the difference between a press release and paid advertising.
Right. So a press release is basically a third party announcement. Mm-hmm. If you have something in the first person, it's usually incorporated in a quote by someone at the company. It's usually very factual, very dry. Mm-hmm. Creative writing isn't really needed for pulling off a mm-hmm. press release, but having a compelling story, really, you know, strategically mm-hmm. what you decide to talk about is the mm-hmm. most important part of the press release. What happens with it is the media looks at that and then they decide to write an article about it.
Right.
There are people that syndicate press releases where they just appear, your press release appears mm-hmm. on a bunch of websites,
right.
but that's not the goal of it. The goal is mm-hmm. to actually get someone to write an original, unique article
right.
using the information that you provided. Mm-hmm. You don't always control that, how they write it. But you know, sometimes, a really astute analyst will see that Microsoft's saying they're closing down one part of their business to make the internet safer is like, let's look at the numbers and right. flesh out what the real meaning mm-hmm. behind this closure is.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was like 0.5%. Okay.
Right. So, mm-hmm. It's just really interesting because if you have a really compelling story, mm-hmm. you can actually get lots of places to write articles about mm-hmm. you. A really successful press release with us is usually anywhere from 4 to 8 articles
nice.
That get written. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's less, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's much more. We did a press mm-hmm. release last year during the height of the pandemic mm-hmm. where a PR firm had a partnership that they were putting together for something called Dining Bond Initiative, built mm-hmm. off the war bond mm-hmm. concept. Mm-hmm. And it was meant to help all these restaurants that were right. closed during mm-hmm. the pandemic. And it allowed you to sort of nominate your local favorite restaurant.
Ah.
And if they accepted, mm-hmm. you could give money and it would immediately go to them and be backed sort of by a gift certificate or something
okay.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it got over 150 articles
wow. on
Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. Washington Post, New York mm-hmm. Times, all the big guys covered it.
The big
it.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of international, including The mm-hmm. Economist and Financial Times mm-hmm. and other places picked it up, but also many, many dozens of small
right.
little newspapers mm-hmm. all across the U.S., perhaps mm-hmm. even across the globe, because mm-hmm. they ended up getting a lot of international media as well.
Mm-hmm.
It just resonated. And it was mm-hmm. like really positive news during a time where there mm-hmm. wasn't a lot. And mm-hmm. it was something that an audience could, you know, react to and mm-hmm. get involved in by you know, nominating mm-hmm. and making a donation. So, you know, for what would have normally cost, you know, $300 through a service like mine,
mm-hmm.
it generated millions of dollars in revenue,
wow.
created hundreds mm-hmm. of stories. It made it a huge success. Mm-hmm. And that leverage is something that you just can't get through mm-hmm. paid advertising.
Right.
I challenge any ad guru or someone who feels they're really skilled at ads to mm-hmm. say, show me where you spent $300 mm-hmm. and turned it into $17 million.
Right.
It just isn't mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. But that leverage is possibly there when you're working with PR and the momentum mm-hmm. of it and the, you know, people wanting to get involved. Mm-hmm. In their case, it was very easy because it was like a perfect anecdote to what was going mm-hmm. on at the time. But you yourself can look at your company, your services, what you're doing, and try to craft something that's a unique strategic mm-hmm. story. What it is that you're doing that matters mm-hmm. and sort of, I always say, craft a message in knowing that the journalist is a gatekeeper mm-hmm. and he's deciding what content to share with his audience. Mm-hmm. Try to make your content as compelling and interesting to an audience as possible. Mm-hmm. And don't focus on what your goal is. If right. you focus too strongly on your goal of, mm-hmm. I really want to sell some of this product, mm-hmm. and you don't focus on what's mm-hmm. the cool story or interesting thing about this product, you're going to misfire and mm-hmm. do a press release that just doesn't work.
Right. You know, and of course, the cool thing about a press release is, as you said, it goes out, you know, there's many, we'll talk about distribution because there are very specific ways you want to distribute some of these, but it goes out to a mass audience of media. And when you do paid advertising, it goes to, say, just an ad in the Wall Street Journal or just an ad on TV on one station, and it's just seen right there by that one little thing. And let's be honest, most advertising, unless you're in a fairly small media market, is pretty expensive. And it's that one shot thing. It's in the paper, the news, whatever it is, that one time, unless you're going to invest a lot. And clearly, there are times for advertising. I do ads. And, but the thing that I always tell people is, we see an ad that says, hey, this is the greatest thing in the world. And we go, yeah, right. They're supposed to say that. It's their company. When we see a story about it that's written by someone else, it's like, oh, it's just like, if we see on Facebook where, somebody says, hey, this is a great restaurant, you should go there. We don't have to know those people. But just the fact that somebody said, hey, this is great, and it wasn't paid for. I mean, that's the whole big difference.
Right. It's like an implied endorsement mm-hmm. that happens.
Right.
If you look at traffic from mm-hmm. paid advertising mm-hmm. in any medium, mm-hmm. The conversion rate is very low,
right.
usually under 5%. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my customers will tell me that they got like 400 visitors from mm-hmm. an article mm-hmm. and they converted 100 to 150 of them into mm-hmm. customers. And there's this implied endorsement that happens mm-hmm. with an actual article where someone feels like they're vetted, they're invested emotionally mm-hmm. in the story, and they want to do business with this mm-hmm. company. They're not in price shopping mm-hmm. mode. They're not trying to see if I can open a browser mm-hmm. and get it cheaper on Amazon. Mm-hmm. They're really wanting to do business with this company they just read about. So the traffic that you get from that is so much better qualified mm-hmm. and so much more primed to do mm-hmm. business with you. And
right.
that's a really cool aspect of, mm-hmm. of PR and what that, implied endorsement when you have mm-hmm. an article written about you does, mm-hmm. because it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. I've mm-hmm. actually had customers tell me that they've sent paid traffic to the article that was written about them, knowing that they aren't able to track right. those customers mm-hmm. Because they're going to a third party website, mm-hmm. they can't really track them. But they said that they've done that because mm-hmm. the page converts so well.
Right. Read about us in the right. type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so, it's interesting how my clients utilize PR. I mean, mm-hmm. they will take their clippings and put them on their website. Mm-hmm. They'll share those clippings with their leads, their customers, their suppliers. And it really does give people a feeling of professionalism mm-hmm. and better understanding. And it helps qualify relationships.
Right.
I've mm-hmm. had people before say, we just were declined for a credit line increase. Mm-hmm. And then they saw an article about us in the local newspaper and they said, we're going to reopen and revisit
wow.
this and mm-hmm. see if we can get you that extension.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what it is that's magical mm-hmm. about it, because if that banker had seen a paid ad on Google, he wouldn't have thought twice.
It wouldn't
about
have paid
it.
Any attention to it.
Right. But when it's a local newspaper has vetted mm-hmm. you, they're like, there's a little something special about this mm-hmm. company, something that a journalist felt like, I want to curate mm-hmm. and share this story with my mm-hmm. audience. And that's just really, really a really cool aspect mm-hmm. of PR. Right. Another thing that some of my customers will do, I had a carpet company in New Jersey that worked with me, and they strategically wanted to get media attention in floor trade publications. Mm. And I just kept telling them, I don't understand this, because mm-hmm. that's not your customer base.
Right. That's your customer industry. Base.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we did several releases. We did 5 releases that did nothing. Mm-hmm. And then we just lucked into a conversation where they talked about their biggest enemy being big box home improvement stores mm-hmm. and how they have to compete against them mm-hmm. and why they're so bad. As you like, you really don't want to get your carpet done from mm-hmm. these guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The only qualification that the Home Depot and Lowe's has is, do you have a home improvement license? Mm-hmm. And we don't care if you've never installed carpet before right. in your life. Figure right. it out. Mm-hmm. And so they often share about having to go in and restretch
fix
carpets
those.
And, mm-hmm. and things like that that happen. And it's just frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then they also talked about how the padding that a lot of those places use mm-hmm. just isn't really great quality mm-hmm. padding. Mm-hmm. And I've learned through them that 80% of the wear of a carpet is the padding. And, you can have a mediocre carpet, but mm-hmm. if you have great padding, it will mm-hmm. have a nice long life. Mm-hmm. But if you have really great carpet and an inferior padding, it's just going to lay there mm-hmm. and not do very well.
Right.
And so, we shared this in a press release, mm-hmm. David versus Goliath approach mm-hmm. and sharing their story of how mm-hmm. they market themselves. And it got picked up in over 10 floor trade publications.
Wow.
And we continued to mm-hmm. talk about marketing. And mm-hmm. what we discovered is an industry blind spot for them, where their industry wasn't talking about marketing, but mm-hmm. their subscriber base was very interested in it. And the editors sort of took a chance on saying, I think this is something I want to share with my readers. Mm-hmm. And before it was all said and done, over a 1-year period, now admittedly the first 5 months was a failure, we ended up getting about 30 publications, including a local mm-hmm. newspaper mm-hmm. and a New Jersey state magazine. And they put it together in this big book, and they called it wow. their big brag book. Mm-hmm. And they take it to every time they give mm-hmm. someone a quote mm-hmm. and they go through it with them mm-hmm. and they started converting 20% more mm-hmm. customers just right. by using mm-hmm. that book. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful, because mm-hmm. I kept saying, I don't understand what all this is for, because mm-hmm. these aren't your customers.
Right. Yeah. Right?
But they said, it's my industry. It's mm-hmm. my industry. Mm-hmm. And I know that anybody else that comes in here and gives someone a quote mm-hmm. isn't going to be recognized by Floor Covers mm-hmm. Weekly, Floor Trading mm-hmm. Today, all of these different publications, mm-hmm. but we are. And, mm-hmm. Here are the color mm-hmm. articles where, we've been written about, and we share that story mm-hmm. with the customers, and we have the same messaging, mm-hmm. but obviously now it resonates more with mm-hmm. customers, because we're converting 20% right. more. And, for a small business, converting 20% more
That's
customers,
huge.
It mm-hmm. is huge. It could be a 40 to 60% revenue mm-hmm. jump.
Right. Right. And again, they could have shared the ads that they ran in those publications, and the consumer would go, whatever.
Yeah.
But when they see a story about it, and my guess is the people didn't sit and read it, but they went, oh, look, and so it really was something that resonated. It was always fun when I I've pretty much stopped doing PR, but it was always interesting to have to explain things also, like it, unless it is something that is timely. So say, like when I was at the Cancer Society and we would be writing about an event coming up, they're not going to run it after the event, but on some kind of general type of things, it runs as space allows. When you pay for an ad, it runs on the day and the time, all those various things that you say. And so sometimes that was a little difficult. I remember one time, we had one of the major television stations that sponsored one of our biggest event, and they had done fabulous work leading up to it. We had had a lot of patient interviews. We had a lot of doctor interviews. I mean, all sorts of things. And the TV station had rocked it. I mean, they just, it was phenomenal coverage that we got. Day of the event, nothing, no remote camera, no nothing. And, you know, and my boss blew a gasket, rightly so, right? You know, we got nothing. And I said, well, you know, you need to understand that this thing called the Gulf War broke out that day. And I said, so we kind of got bumped. and it really was just kind of one of those things. And part of that is because, as I mentioned, it's as space allows. If you're dealing with television cameras and you know, media like that, they don't have 50 cameras that they can send in various places. I mean, even the major media outlets anymore are down to just two or three trucks, you know, all these things. And you are competing with the if it bleeds, it leads stories. And so, you know, now the nice thing was that television station made up for it. We had a lot of things later. They felt very bad and things like that. But it is kind of one of those things that we always have to bear in mind when we're doing PR. That, you know, it can be something that, and the funny thing is I've had things placed months after I actually, you know, after I initially sent them and we were surprised by it, but it was, you know, it brought it back into the cycle again and was a big boost.
Right. I've seen 6 months is not unusual. Sometimes people will create a filler article and they realize that this isn't timely. It doesn't have to go out today. I'm just going to hold on to it until I need to, you know, put it in there. And so that does happen quite a bit. Another thing that happens is people will write a topic article, and they'll go look at old press releases to try to find companies in that industry that they could either maybe get some quotes from or just get some more information. So your press releases live far and long. I will say the most frustrating thing I've ever experienced is a small business does a press release on a really cool topic. And then a publication publishes an article on that topic, doesn't mention them.
Oh, painful.
And, it is. And what I've discovered is it's usually not on purpose. Right. The writer of the story did incorporate that small business in the article, but the managing editor.
Yeah, there's an editor.
Right. The supervising or managing editor looked at it and said, why are you mentioning this small little company? I've never heard of them. And he doesn't realize that they were the inspiration for the story. So he just crosses them out. And one thing that I always tell people is that's why it's really important to have a compelling quote in your press release.
Right.
If you had a compelling quote in that article, a managing editor said, I'd never heard of this company, but that's a great quote.
Right, great quote.
You might even circle it and you know, put exclamation marks next to it. That's a great way to survive being in a story. And I always say, you know, if you're introducing a topic or something that's interesting in your industry that you could be excised from, have a really great quote. That's the place to put your creative energies and put a little more effort in.
Right.
You want it so that it can't be easily paraphrased.
Right.
The magic is lost.
Right. You know, and let's be honest, we put on our creative writing hats to create those quotes. They more than likely were not a direct quote from that person. You
know? Right. They don't have to be.
Right. But we want it to be something that they might say. I mean, you know, when I've written them, I've had them say now, you know, please read the, I tell them, you know, please read the quote. If it's not written in a way that you would say that, let me know. You know, like say maybe I put terminology in there that they wouldn't use or something like that. But, you know, yeah, we get a little loosey goosey with the quotes.
Right.
You know, we probably shouldn't say that, but, you know, it's approved by the client. I mean, that's the important thing as something that they would say.
And as a good PR professional, you're looking to be authentic to their story and what they would say. It may not be the exact language that they would say it, but you know that's why they pay you. You're the person who puts the great words together in a way that's just meaningful and makes it stand out.
Right. Well, and what has typically happened for me, at least, is I've taken the conversations that I've had with them, and you know, and taken bits and pieces to make those quotes. So, you know, they might not have said, we think that, you know, this product is going to revolutionize how our industry works directly like that, but they might have said it in other ways. And so that's where we come up with those quotes. We're not just completely pulling them out of thin air.
Right.
You know, and you know, we mentioned the difference between advertising and PR, and I believe that, you know, it is kind of a symbiotic nature. You know, and we see that in some publications, and I'll be honest, it annoys me when I'm approached by a publication that says, "Hey, we'll write a story about you, but you have to buy an ad." And I almost always turn them down. I'm like, no, you know, that's not how we want to get ahead in this business, even though most readers never get that that's what happened. You know, we should never have to pay for placement of PR.
Right. And unfortunately, I hear about that often mm-hmm. among local papers, especially mm-hmm. Local business publication, if you're mm-hmm. lucky enough to have one in your area, maybe a maybe not the daily newspaper, mm-hmm. but like a weekly or mm-hmm. something like a regional community paper. It's very common that that's part of their business mm-hmm. model, where they will go and say, "Hey, to a restaurant, if you pay, pay for an ad mm-hmm. in our publication,
we'll write a story,
mm-hmm. we'll write a review mm-hmm. of your restaurant mm-hmm. or your new menu or mm-hmm. something like that." And, you know, that isn't the part of PR that mm-hmm. I play in, but I do understand that it exists out there. It's hard for a lot of these businesses to figure out how to make money.
Right.
These little, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of these smaller local publications, I just don't think you're going to survive mm-hmm. going forward outside of maybe just being virtual and mm-hmm. volunteer for the most part. Mm-hmm. I think that Patch has done a pretty interesting mm-hmm. job over the years.
Right. Patch has been very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like they're doing it right, mm-hmm. but I also suspect there's not much money there at all, mm-hmm. You know, supporting them. Mm-hmm. And they are relying predominantly on volunteers mm-hmm. and, you know, really small budgets and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I think that that's the only place mm-hmm. that will survive in the mm-hmm. future. But in the meantime, you are going to have more of these mm-hmm. people who are going to either directly mm-hmm. or indirectly, because the smart ones mm-hmm. would make it very indirect, say,
right.
"Hey, if you advertise with us, maybe mm-hmm. we could find some room for you mm-hmm. for an editorial article mm-hmm. or something in the next few weeks." Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a promise, but, and you know,
give us a couple thousand and we'll see if we have a free reporter.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it is unfortunate that mm-hmm. that happens. I think that I don't see it much in trade publications, and I don't see it with a lot of your major dailies and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but it is an area that I don't think it's necessarily mm-hmm. unethical, because I talked to a local newspaper that actually ended up folding, and you know, he made me understand that this is the only way that I can right. afford to have a sales mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. This is the only way that I can afford to have a writer on right. staff.
They're a business too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it is one of the things that is it's very difficult, because I do recognize that digital media, social mm-hmm. media, all of this is changing the mm-hmm. landscape by which people consume mm-hmm. content. And I think that unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is just going to be mm-hmm. lost down the line.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I mean, one of the things that has pained me is the loss of local newspapers, especially the big guys, you know, and that just, I still get the local newspaper here, you know, the Atlanta paper. Now it's a big paper, but I only get it on weekends. And I only read the Sunday one. You know, I wish they had this, you know, one just for the Sunday stuff. But, you know, I'm from Denver, where for many years we had the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post. And it was great having those two major newspapers, because they were direct competitors. And, you know, and from a PR perspective and from a consumer perspective, too, it really did mean that you got a lot better coverage, you got unbiased, I mean, all sorts of things. And unfortunately, the Rocky folded, you know, and the Denver Post has continued to decline. I mean, you know, people just aren't subscribing. You know, when we talk to millennials and younger, if you say the word newspaper, they don't know what you're talking about.
Right. And it's funny to just watch the landscape, how mm-hmm. it's changed. At a point, Craigslist mm-hmm. started to destroy the revenue for most right. small newspapers mm-hmm. by taking away the classified mm-hmm. section, especially job postings. Mm-hmm. And now even that's lost. Craigslist mm-hmm. is no longer a power in the marketplace mm-hmm. or the job listing mm-hmm. placement. You know, they didn't reinvest in it. So it's kind of ironic that, you know, they took so much revenue right. from mm-hmm. newspapers. And then they themselves are just, mm-hmm. you know, I hear they're very lean company. So mm-hmm. I imagine they're still profitable, mm-hmm. but you know, they were the source at one point mm-hmm. where people went to find job applicants right. mm-hmm. and they're just not anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that has been lost. Mm-hmm. And so we're watching a shift in which things are changing mm-hmm. and you know, what we think they're changing into, mm-hmm. even that dynamically changes mm-hmm. as well.
Right. You know, and it is interesting how things have changed. You know, and that's part of why I've gotten out of PR. I mean, it has just gotten so difficult because there's fewer resources in the media, you know, and, you know, they're doing multiple jobs. I mean, where you used to have a big staff of reporters that focused on their beat, you know, and all of those various things. Now, unfortunately, we have one reporter who's covering 10 different subjects and, you know, things like that. And it is just difficult, but it points to the fact that we have to build those relationships with those reporters, especially if you're dealing with very specific type of stories, you know, because there are still health reporters, there are still tech reporters, all of those things. So talk to us a little bit about that, because I know that you know, you've mentioned relationships and you started building your lists, as you said, long ago by just contacting them. So talk to us about that.
So at the end of the day, you know, we're all humans and we all work mm-hmm. with relationships and with there's an innate reciprocity mm-hmm. that happens. And so if you invest in a relationship, mm-hmm. praise someone, mm-hmm. provide them a really good tip that right. doesn't mention you, mm-hmm. and you become a good resource and mm-hmm. ally, they're going to be more likely when you say, hey, you know, we're doing this and we feel mm-hmm. it's really important mm-hmm. right now and love to talk to you more about developing an article mm-hmm. for us, they're more likely to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say when it comes to local media, it's probably best for you to handle it yourself. Mm-hmm. When people call e-releases and say they're looking for just local media, I always mm-hmm. say, do it yourself.
Right. They're probably networking with those folks anyway.
Right. And they're overwhelmed because they mm-hmm. don't realize it. They're like, oh, there's this whole landscape of media mm-hmm. I know nothing about. And I just point out that there's probably less than 10 people that would write about you. Mm-hmm. You know, a local newspaper, mm-hmm. maybe a regional paper, mm-hmm. Maybe if you're lucky enough to have a business magazine mm-hmm. or business newspaper, and then there's radio and TV as well. Mm-hmm. And find out who writes mm-hmm. Articles in your industry, mm-hmm. in those papers or businesses your size, mm-hmm. and call and mm-hmm. ask for their email address and reach right. out to them. Mm-hmm. Some you might find on Twitter, because mm-hmm. I do find that a lot of journalists mm-hmm. like to be on Twitter, but a lot of the smaller newspapers may not be that mm-hmm. way, but just reach out to them, mm-hmm. You know, be a resource. Mm-hmm. I say try to touch them six mm-hmm. to eight times a year and mm-hmm. make like more than half of those just tips right. and resources.
Not here's paid. A story, please run it for me.
Right. If you see something trending in your industry, mm-hmm. and it doesn't necessarily apply to you, mm-hmm. just point it out to them and say, hey, I know you've covered this in the past, mm-hmm. you know, this industry in the past. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd like to know that mm-hmm. right now what's really hot in our mm-hmm. trade publications is this. And I think that if you wrote an article about it, you'd be way ahead of, mm-hmm. you know, mainstream media discussing right. it right. as a trend. Mm-hmm. And so that's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm really talking about six to eight contacts mm-hmm. That you do across maybe mm-hmm. 10 individuals
right.
and that's it. And you mm-hmm. can actually own the local media. There's mm-hmm. a reason that the same small companies appear right. time mm-hmm. and time again in these mm-hmm. publications, because when they're writing an article mm-hmm. and they need to plug a company mm-hmm. in there, they already know about mm-hmm. you. So right. they're just going to choose mm-hmm. you and plug you in there. Mm-hmm. And also when you're doing radio and TV, you're not looking for the host of a segment, but you're looking for the producer or the booker
right.
mm-hmm. that when you're calling and asking mm-hmm. for an email address or a contact. Mm-hmm. I prefer email, but you know, if they're on Twitter, I would also mm-hmm. Do that as well and just see what naturally fits mm-hmm. for the people. There are probably some that still respond to telephone calls, mm-hmm. but I find less and less so.
Because they're getting so many.
there's a busy professional mm-hmm. and, you know, someone who's generally more shy in the liberal arts education. Mm-hmm. They just like email so mm-hmm. much better. And so right. I would just, you know, consider that and move forward. Right. But you can do the same thing in trade publications. Mm-hmm. Now, to do really good in a large trade industry, you can't do justice to what mm-hmm. you can do by sending out a press release,
right.
but you can make some significant contacts mm-hmm. at some publications and just incorporate them into your messaging mm-hmm. and share with them. And it's the same concept, you know, be a resource for them. Mm-hmm. Try to anticipate what would be worthy mm-hmm. of them covering mm-hmm. and also, you know, give them tips, even right. if it doesn't help you, mm-hmm. you're investing mm-hmm. in a savings account that you'll be able to cash mm-hmm. in later.
Right. Yeah. They remember, you know, I remember when we would have media call and say, hey, we're looking for X information. Might not be something we could do, but I always told them I'll find somebody who can. You know, and even if it was a competitor, I mean, there were times where I did that because I knew that they would remember that and think, okay, the next time we need somebody, we're going to go back to her again. You know, and so, yeah, you always want to be that trusted resource. And you know, just because they're not going to write that story about you this time doesn't mean they won't do it the next time.
Exactly. And I think that also when a editor who has been helped by you, mm-hmm. has passed on you a couple of times, when the story comes by mm-hmm. and they're like, eh, this isn't a great story, mm-hmm. but I could mm-hmm. do it. They're more likely to say, okay, I'm mm-hmm. going to do it. I feel like I owe this person a little mm-hmm. bit.
Right.
And you know, it is, that's the way we work. Mm-hmm. It's humans being human. Mm-hmm. And we do want to reciprocate mm-hmm. to people who help us out. And mm-hmm. You know, if you help them out over mm-hmm. time, you're going to reap benefits from it.
Right. Right. You know, and follow them on social media, you know, and just see, you know, are there, even if you're just sharing the things that they do, you know, you know, it's great because you're getting in there. I mean, it's the exact same thing as when we talk about building relationships with people you want to do business with. You're doing business with the media also, you know, and so it's the very same thing. It's sharing their content. It's commenting. It's being that resource. It's just that they're in a different business.
Great.
You know, and one of the things I also always tell my clients, and I love that you talk about local media, is, you know, you have to set your expectations correctly. You know, getting a story in your local newspaper might be far more valuable than something in a big publication. You know, I had a client one time who had written a book, fabulous book. And, you know, she hired us to do the publicity and the PR for her. And, you know, she had lofty goals and that was great. This was back when Oprah had her book club and she wanted to be on Oprah's show and be on Oprah's book club, but she didn't want to do anything in between. It was, I want you to get me on Oprah's club. I said, no, we need to work on getting you here in the local media. And this is Denver. So, you know, that's a major media outlet. It was going to get attention. And we said, you know, and then we'll start building up to regionally and things like that. And I said, so it might conceivably be a year before we ever contact the producers, as you said, you know, we're not contacting Oprah herself. And she said, no, I mean, it was just, she wanted to go to from zero to 200 just right away. And, you know, the thing that I told her also was, I said, okay, say we lightning struck and things aligned and we got you on Oprah. Could you fulfill having 30,000 books overnight? Which of course she couldn't, you know, there was no way that she could do that. And, but you know, it is something that we need to think about is what are our expectations, you know, is getting, you know, we've got some great local newspapers here in Atlanta where we, you know, there are people who have stories every, and they're monthlies. I love that, you know, and so they're not doing the if it bleeds, it leads stories because that's already happened. You know, it's they have to do the human interest stories. And the companies that have something in almost every one of those monthly publications are paid attention to far more than somebody who gets, you know, 200 words in the big daily Atlanta paper.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's amazing my customers, when they would tell me about their experiences, what really drove sales. Mm-hmm. And often it's not necessarily a major publication. Mm-hmm. It's a small daily, mm-hmm. or it could be a pretty obscure mm-hmm. Blog that's in their industry that mm-hmm. they just didn't realize was as important as it turned mm-hmm. out to be. And even right now with fashion news that we're doing, there's a lot of influencers on Instagram that mm-hmm. will read a press release and share it, you mm-hmm. know, clips of, pictures and videos of mm-hmm. Fashion and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, what is the media is evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. And it's really just cool to watch how things organically mm-hmm. can grow. And the person that you talked about who wanted to just hit Oprah on the, from the ground mm-hmm. running, they're just, there is a natural progression of the mm-hmm. way things happen. And it is true that if you're really newsworthy, sometimes you can just, lightning strikes and, mm-hmm. You get on Dr. Oz.
Yeah, something happened.
Like that.
I mean, because we do see it happen every once in a while. Right. Like you said, that one, it just took off.
Right. But, most of the time it does start mm-hmm. local, grows out from mm-hmm. there. And then you might get some play in larger mm-hmm. Audiences and mm-hmm. things like that. And I think that the larger outlets and, especially TV shows and things mm-hmm. like that, they like to be able to do a search for you and see mm-hmm. that you've interacted with the media.
Right. And, do you know how to do an interview?
Right. Because, bringing someone in who has no interview mm-hmm. experience mm-hmm. and has never interacted with the mm-hmm. media is something that I don't think a lot of producers are going to be very comfortable with.
No, that's danger. I love that you mentioned blogs. And things have changed so much it's been years since I have done a press release. And, I started, you talk about faxing. I started out when we mailed the press release. We printed them up and we mailed them along with a photo. It was, oh my God. And we did international distribution for some of our clients. And so this was an entertaining prospect. But now we do. There are actually still some every once in a while that want it faxed. I'm like, okay, whatever. But it's not just the things that we, it's not CNN, it's not the Wall Street Journal, it's not, People Magazine. We're also having to send to bloggers, to influencers. And so how do you deal with how things have completely changed and the fact that you mentioned fashion. You might be sending something to a 16-year-old influencer because right. she's got 2 million followers. How in the heck do you deal with that?
It's funny because the Newswire mm-hmm. about 15 years ago or so was very resistant to bloggers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They didn't want mm-hmm. to give bloggers access mm-hmm. to the Newswire.
Right. Not professionals was
right.
probably.
Mm-hmm. And so, and yet, in some cases, some blogs had more traffic than the right. industry trade publication, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the big trade publication. So eventually they caved and started mm-hmm. accepting it. Now, press releases are public, so mm-hmm. anyone could find them.
Right.
But the thing about it is, if you have a journalist login for the Newswire, mm-hmm. you can do really great stuff. You can mm-hmm. actually tag industry stuff. Mm-hmm. You can exclude keywords. So you can make your feed very specific mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what these bloggers mm-hmm. were wanting access to be mm-hmm. able to really be like a media mm-hmm. outlet and be able to really mm-hmm. go in there and mm-hmm. skim 30 or 40 headlines mm-hmm. that are completely relevant mm-hmm. to what they're right. all about. And so the Newswire eventually agreed. And the funny thing is now, I was just shocked mm-hmm. to learn how many media outlets that the Newswire is incorporating. They're just social media influencers.
Right.
So they are not making the same mistake mm-hmm. they did with bloggers mm-hmm. again. They are very accepting of mm-hmm. All different types mm-hmm. of influencers, whether they're on Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And they just recognize now that, what is media is evolving and changing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're being more accepting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the industry's really woken up mm-hmm. and it's exciting because I like the idea that you can get traditional media, mm-hmm. but you can also get new media, mm-hmm. social media, as a result of sending a release out and sending right. it out over the wire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it still baffles me. I read something over the weekend about the recent football game that Tom Brady played in. Of course, he's the name, and they issued 400 and some, or maybe even more, press credentials. There's not that many. You know, and so that had to be a lot of bloggers. Now, granted, you know, if you sent, you know, I mean, a credential is for each person. So, you know, you'd have a cameraman, you'd have, you know, somebody helping the camera. I mean, all those various things are going to have a credential. But yeah, I mean, those were bloggers. Those were, you know, I don't know if there were influencers there, but yeah, I mean, it's just incredible now how to do that reach. And, you know, that's, I think that's, that was about the point where I thought, this is not for me anymore. I just don't want to do this.
Right.
So, you know, the tricky thing is, you know, we've mentioned, you know, sending it out, building those relationships, but still, how do we get things noticed? What is that, you know, from a marketing perspective, we tell people find your unique selling proposition. Do you have that for press releases also?
Yes, that's actually number one in my strategy class is own your own story. And okay. I talk about USP mm-hmm. and how if you have a unique selling proposition, mm-hmm. you know what you're doing that's different mm-hmm. than everyone else in your industry mm-hmm. because you've carved out something that makes you different mm-hmm. than everybody else. So you're no longer a commodity. You're whether it's I'm going to do really fast shipping or mm-hmm. whatever your USP is, you've got one. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, that's a red flag that mm-hmm. you really should create one because right. then you're just a commodity mm-hmm. type business and you really have to have something that makes mm-hmm. you a little unique. Even with people who are in the commodity business, they try to do something different mm-hmm. that makes them stand out. Mm-hmm. For some, it's the way that they ship. For some, it's bundles. They mm-hmm. might bundle stuff and things like that. And some, they might include promotions and mm-hmm. things like that along with it. So USP is right there front mm-hmm. and center as number one in my 8 strategic strategies. Mm-hmm. The second one is research your industry. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to industry blind mm-hmm. spots, like the carpet company mm-hmm. that discovered that right. their industry wasn't talking about marketing.
Right.
And the funny thing is, after a year campaign of doing releases and continuing to get wins in marketing, 2 of the trade publications started marketing columns. And they said it was because of us really bringing to light mm-hmm. how marketing is so important mm-hmm. to their subscriber base. Mm-hmm. And they never put 2 and 2 together that they mm-hmm. love the discussions around marketing. And so that was really cool mm-hmm. to see. One of the places actually offered us the marketing column, but ooh. The carpet company said, no, we're paying enough for press releases. I don't mm-hmm. have to pay for mm-hmm. writing articles and stuff like that as well. But it was really a really cool experience. And it's something that you can replicate yourselves by, you know, are there things in your industry that people mm-hmm. aren't talking about? Sometimes it's like, is there a little hidden secret mm-hmm. in your industry mm-hmm. that people don't discuss publicly mm-hmm. very much? Sometimes they do that for a reason. So mm-hmm. I always caution to right. figure that out first. Mm-hmm. I had one client who said he was in cybersecurity mm-hmm. and he did a press release talking about how almost every website, including Amazon, and all your banks are vulnerable to these hacks and stuff like that. And he got several people saying, we all know this. There's no mm-hmm. fix for it. Mm-hmm. This is the way that, you mm-hmm. know, databases interact mm-hmm. with the web. Right. And no one's figured out how to fix this yet. Mm-hmm. So keep your mouth shut.
All you're stop doing telling isn't people inviting about
people
it.
Mm-hmm. To take advantage of this vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, no one has yet. But that was an instance where mm-hmm. there's an industry blind spot before mm-hmm. a reason, and you're right. not going to be able to mm-hmm. Use that to leverage attention. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned quotes can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. If you have a very safe, mediocre story mm-hmm. and a journalist is on the fence, if you have a really compelling quote, mm-hmm. it can really save an article being mm-hmm. written about you and, you know, making that quote mm-hmm. the showcase for you. I also like the idea of being a contrarian. Mm-hmm. If there's something that everybody in the industry is saying mm-hmm. X, be the person that says Y.
Right.
And, you know, if the media is supposed to be objective and everyone's just right. giving one
they should be wanting that.
Mm-hmm. They will actually use you. Mm-hmm. So if you're just one voice saying the same thing as everybody else, you're competing against everybody else for that media space. Mm-hmm. But if you're the only lone person out there pointing out the cons or the negative about a situation, you have the chance of being picked up every time that topic is mentioned because you're the person that's pointing out the negative. Mm-hmm. And so that can be really powerful. Again, you just want to make sure that you're saying something that you're comfortable saying in your industry. Right. You don't want to come across as a
crazy uncle, ever lie.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to be contrarian just for the sake of being contrarian, but you want to, you know, there's a way to come across as logical and reasonable while pointing out the negatives on a particular topic or subject. Another thing is the media loves numbers. Data, statistics, numbers are powerful. And sometimes you just putting together numbers that are publicly available in a really compelling way can work very well. But even more importantly is doing your own survey or study. I've done that with several clients who are not newsworthy. And I said, well, if we all agree you're not newsworthy, one way to get media attention is to do a survey or study in your industry. And they get tripped up on stuff like, well, I wouldn't even know what to do. I was like, well, you use a service like Google Forms or SurveyMonkey and you take one URL and you share it with people. Well, I wouldn't know who to share it with. And I was like, well, you could share it with your leads or customers. Or if you're wanting to interact with other companies like yours, you could just go to a trade association. There are hundreds of trade associations in every industry. You can pick the smaller, more independent ones. They don't get a lot of love from the media. So if you say, I would love for you to send this survey out to your members and I'll mention you in a press release I'll be issuing over the wire, they're like, okay.
Yeah, and sometimes
sometimes you might even decide to co-brand the survey if it's a small outfit. And so it just creates a win-win situation. Everybody that has followed my advice and done the survey or study has usually gotten an average of between 6 and 14 articles written about them in their industry.
I love that.
And one of my little tricks is you want questions that are really timely. So right now would be a perfect opportunity to say, how are people spending in your industry? Are they freezing their spending? Are they spending more thinking that's going to grow? Or are they being very cautious? And so if you just take someone's temperature at one particular point in time, the media likes to have that and share it because, you know, a lot of people are looking around and saying, maybe we shouldn't be, you know, opening up our marketing budgets, or maybe we should be, you know, reining them down or something like that. So it's a really good measurement. And I also advise people to put one or two left field questions towards the end that are just a little weird or strange. But often those are the ones that really resonate and go viral. We had a local auto repair shop in Pennsylvania that did a auto industry survey. And we had a field that said, what's the strangest thing a customer's left in their car while being repaired? And we left enough room for them to write a couple sentences.
Oh, dear.
And,
oh, my.
We got really, that was what went viral. Over a dozen auto trade publications wrote about it. Over 20 or 30 local newspapers, including their local newspaper, picked it up. And, you know, people were wanting to read. They didn't publish all 80 some that we listed in the survey, but they picked and choose what they thought were really quirky things that happened. And, you know, the rest of the survey, while the results are interesting, that was what really resonated and did very well. I think altogether, it was over 36 media clippings that we discovered that happened from that one survey. And so, you know, sometimes you just want to think outside the box. I feel like that's where I use my creative writing is to really, you know, find something that's like, if you could ask anybody in your industry, you know, something like, what's the strangest client you ever had? Or if you have a home interior person, what's the strangest request that someone wanted in their home or something like that?
Yeah.
Those are interesting stories and they fascinate readers. And so you could understand why a journalist acting as a gatekeeper would want to share those moments with their readers.
Right. I love it. You know, and another thing is the non-business story. You know, talking about, say, your company's philanthropic efforts, all of those things. I mean, you know, we get tired of hearing about you sell carpet, you sell carpet, you sell carpet. But if you put carpet in a new Habitat for Humanity home, that's a story. You know, and I think that's sometimes where people forget is they think, well, we have to be doing this to sell. Right. No, you're wanting people to realize, hey, this is a great company. And you know, at somewhere along the line, we'll do business with them.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of outreach and mm-hmm. things that you can do to get mentions in places. Mm-hmm. And that sort of visibility really scales very strongly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a reason that when you watch HGTV, they mention the names of brands mm-hmm. that they're right. putting in people's houses mm-hmm. because people are like, oh, that's really cool. I want mm-hmm. a Kohl's mm-hmm. Faucet. Mm-hmm. I want this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. It puts that brand in their mind so that if they're ever thinking about putting a new kitchen sink in mm-hmm. or faucet, that they think of a particular company mm-hmm. and they've heard good stuff about it mm-hmm. and they've seen, you know, people using it right. and stuff like that. So there are reasons why this happens and mm-hmm. why it works so well. And, you know, there's, you know, lots of places and opportunities, and you just want to try to see if you can, put your creative head mm-hmm. on and think of ways that you could promote yourself or talk about yourself that are a little bit different than, everybody else. I always say the personnel press releases are the worst.
Oh, I know.
They rarely
I hate it when sometimes they're held so long that they run saying, you know, hey, so-and-so is the new vice president. They're gone. They're not at the company anymore.
Right.
Well, okay. I'm sure this is great information, but I'm sure we still have a lot of people who went, I don't know how to do this. I know it's important, but I'm just overwhelmed. And so talk to us about the services that you provide.
Okay. So eReleases has been around 23 years, mm-hmm. And we provide press release writing and press release distribution. Mm-hmm. I always advise people to take a stab at writing the press release themselves first. Just do a search on our website in the mm-hmm. footer, press release samples. Mm-hmm. We have various samples of mm-hmm. types of press releases. They're very straightforward. They're not mm-hmm. very compelling. Mm-hmm. Put your energy and time into being strategic with mm-hmm. what you're announcing. That's mm-hmm. the important thing. I have a course that I put together for my customers to teach them these 8 strategies mm-hmm. of developing compelling press releases. And if anyone wants to take advantage of it, it's completely free.
Okay.
My goal is to get customers to do better releases mm-hmm. and less of the personnel releases. Mm-hmm. And it's available at ereleases.com/plan, PLAN. Mm-hmm. And it's less than an hour. And anybody that goes through that and mm-hmm. does an inventory of their mm-hmm. business and who they are and what they're about mm-hmm. should be able to come up with 6 to 8 mm-hmm. press release ideas that would be strategic and meaningful. Mm-hmm. And as a result, if they did a campaign of those 6 to 8 mm-hmm. releases, I guarantee you that they would probably have 2 or 3 mm-hmm. that get decent media traction. Right. And, right. you know, unfortunately, not everything's going to work, mm-hmm. but it is a learning game and you mm-hmm. want to try different strategic approaches. The survey and study is one that I've yet have failed. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anyone who's done a survey or study mm-hmm. in their industry and followed my advice with a left field question mm-hmm. or two towards the very end mm-hmm. that didn't come away with getting meaningful mm-hmm. media attention from it. So mm-hmm. There are things that you can do if you feel you're not newsworthy mm-hmm. to sort of own your news right. and to get your messaging out mm-hmm. there. Another thing to keep in mind with people who are looking for services or looking for stories is, you know, sharing your blemishes, your mm-hmm. setbacks, your, right. you know, a lot
especially
of people,
especially after COVID. Oh my gosh.
People love human interest mm-hmm. stories. And mm-hmm. I've had small businesses that I encourage to share mm-hmm. embarrassing little things mm-hmm. that happened in their growth of their business. Mm-hmm. And they get picked up by Inc. and Fast Company wow. because those publications mm-hmm. really love those types of mm-hmm. stories that show the growth and mm-hmm. growing pains of an actual business. Mm-hmm. And you know, be authentic. Mm-hmm. So many people want to be larger than they really are, more mm-hmm. professional, more corporate. But sometimes if you just show the blemishes mm-hmm. and, you know, the little growing pains that you've had, it's a story that mm-hmm. really resonates with people. Mm-hmm. And I advise people to really consider PR and to consider mm-hmm. a PR campaign because it can really, you know, get a lot of leverage mm-hmm. For you for a small amount of money.
Right.
And I love seeing it work again mm-hmm. and again. And I only want to be a resource for mm-hmm. people to help them to do more strategic releases mm-hmm. and have better experiences with
right.
PR.
You know, and I want to encourage people, you know, the next time you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to do some advertising, and I don't care where it is, Facebook, you know, any Google, a publication, I mean, any of those, really think, okay, can I put that money towards a PR campaign instead? Because we've talked about the fact that from a credibility standpoint, PR is just king. The ad says what we want the ad to say. So it's going to say glowing things. And yes, you know, the PR story is too, but because it is written and, you know, all those various things by other people, that credibility level just skyrockets. And so really think about that, folks. The next time you are thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to run an ad, even if it's just in your local paper, think about, you know, okay, what if we pitched a PR story to them instead?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if it's just owning your local media mm-hmm. and you doing it yourself, mm-hmm. get out there, get involved, mm-hmm. Spend a little bit of time and effort, and don't be overwhelmed by it all. Just break it into small little right. segments. Even right. if you're just doing one message to mm-hmm. Your local media a quarter, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, mm-hmm. maybe right. 10 people that you're mm-hmm. sending a message to mm-hmm. every 3 months.
Right. And, you know, reporters are people too. I mean, I think that's the thing too, is sometimes we get intimidated by them. You know, oh my gosh, this is a columnist and whatcha. You know, they're people too. They need good stories, you know, all of these various things. And sometimes they can be scary. You know, if we do another interview, I'll tell you about when one of these sensationalized reporters called me at the American Cancer Society with one of those stories, and I almost hung up on her. I mean, I was like, oh my God, no, I didn't, you know, because that was bad. But yeah, I mean, they're people trying to get a good story. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. So, you know, being able to be that great resource for them, like Mickey was saying earlier, is absolutely what we need to do. Well, Mickey, tell people how they find you and how they connect with you.
Sure. ereleases.com. All my social media is on the lower right of the website. LinkedIn's the best way to reach me personally. But if you have any questions or you're looking to consider a press release, you can pick up the phone or chat with one mm-hmm. of the editors there. We don't have any salespeople. We have no commissions. We are pretty upfront and honest if we feel like we can be helpful.
Very reasonable pricing. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
So, you know, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I would just say that PR is one of those things that does take a little bit more effort than mm-hmm. just putting an ad campaign out mm-hmm. and spending dollars. But it does have the ability to really, for a few $100s, put a lot of gasoline mm-hmm. on the fire. And I would challenge anyone to do a campaign of mm-hmm. 6 to 8 releases. You can spend with a company, you know, my company, under $2,000 and do 6 to 8 releases and you know, potentially get many tens of thousands right. of dollars mm-hmm. in sales and other mm-hmm. ancillary benefits and you know, not even mentioning SEO mm-hmm. and the collateral that you'll create that you'll be able to share with your leads and customers.
Great. I love it. Well, like I said, this is getting back to my roots. And so I absolutely love this. And we definitely should do it again. Until then, I'm Deb Creer. I've been talking with Mickey Kennedy of ereleases. And everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.